up, Joe?
What's up, player?
Dude, we got a lot of West regional banks dumping today. They've halted.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like four of them. I have a buddy who's a senior executive at a different regional bank. And I got to tell you, the FUD on every regional bank is flying because all the guys who are short are fucking just stirring it up, creating a banking crisis all by themselves. It's kind of fucking nuts.
Yeah. Again, you know, I think that as long as the market absorbs the turmoil, then
yeah,
it's good for the market, right? You know, so
right now they're saying PacWest is at risk of going into FDIC receivership. Everybody's down like 25%. It's kind of friggin' nuts.
When's the Fed hike again? This month, right? Yeah. Okay.
PacWest, Western Alliance, and Metropolitan Bank have all had their stocks halted.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I look at it as these guys all got fat off of the liquidity trough for over a decade.
Yep.
And they were told, and then got, well, hey, just when we thought it couldn't get any better, then all the pandemic stimulus came rolling in.
Exactly.
And so, you know, these guys are like junkies sitting there mainlining heroin. It's like, you got to drag them off that needle. And if that means bankrupting banks, I mean, it's not going to hurt depositors. Okay. So let's keep that straight and clear.
Fine. That's why I wonder if there'll even be runs on these banks. You know what I mean? Because I think people are like, oh, well, fuck it. The FDIC is going to cover it or somebody will buy it. So it's all good.
Yeah. I mean, look, the one I think the auction yesterday or the day before that JP Morgan bought, whatever bank that was, I think the FDIC, shouldered no exposure on that. JP Morgan took all the exposure.
Yeah, the government loaned $50 billion to Chase to buy.
Right.
So,
but yeah, that gets paid back. So I mean, there's not like a big FDIC bailout of depositors kind of thing. So
no, not at all. They took on all the deposits and everything else. Shizzy says rate hike tomorrow. Can Chirpow raise the rates after today? I have a feeling he's going to have to rethink that strategy after today, but we'll see.
Yeah, but they've been supposedly watching this for a while, and they usually don't react to short-term stuff like this.
That's true. You're right.
So what have they been signaling? You know, what are they at now? Like 4.75, I believe? I mean, I saw signaling of 5.25, which to me is just like, you know, pulling the trigger on the gun and missing your head. I think it's a little too close. I don't know, 50 bips right now. I just don't know if that's just too much of a shock. But clearly it's slowing down and it's painful. But the Fed balance sheet is shrinking again. Liquidity is coming off. I just don't know. I mean, I'm not one who thinks that there's not a sequence of events here, you know, real estate being another one that looks problematic. But, yeah, I don't know what else they're supposed to do.
Right. Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, I would kind of like them to sit there right now and actually pause would be my call. I know that there's an argument – among some of the crypto community that you want it to get bad. So then you get to the STEMI funding.
Right.
You know, so I get that perspective. And if that's the case, then I think you would want them to raise rates to 50 bips to accelerate that. But I'm kind of one of those who still thinks that it doesn't have to be, you know, that kind of a negative correlation. It doesn't have to be STEMI funding that gets crypto going or Bitcoin going. To me, I really want to see that transition to risk off asset as far as for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And whatever alts will lag behind that. And if that can happen, you know, then I think that you can have everything. You know, you can have, well, we were talking about the soft landing or something. You can have interest rates up and you can have the crypto market still reacting favorably. I don't know what that means for the stock market. I don't know what that means for the real estate market. But it seems to me if you do 50 bips now, you're going to tip over the whole real estate market, number one. And psychologically, it's just going to destroy people. So I would prefer a pause right now. I don't see any outlandish growth anywhere that has to be constrained. And I see the fact that Europe's going to raise. And, you know, we've been talking about this for a while, but, you know, think about DXY and remember imports and exports, you know, dollar strength versus imports and exports. What we were talking about a year ago is that when that differential between European interest rate or difference between European interest rate and U.S. interest rate is too big, then U.S. export goods become too expensive.
Right.
And that starts slowing down U.S. industry as well. So I think the goal from the beginning was just like, you know, it slowed down European industry when, you know, in different dynamics of how the trade works based upon where those currencies are. I think the goal is to get them to where they're somewhat equal, to have balance there, not to have it as weighted, you know, one side or the other for, you know, cheap imports versus cheap exports. And so that makes me think that's another reason to me to look for the Fed to pause.
Yeah.
And let your ECB catch up. So, you know, I mean, that's what I would hope for, but I don't think it affects crypto per se in a positive or negative way. In my mind, I think what it really affects is holding the bigger markets together.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
I get. I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. Totally get it. Yeah. Shizzy says they are sitting in a room right now all together watching this bank stock massacre. S&P down bad. Niblet says 0.5% increase plus a federal gov default.
Yeah.
Bumpy days ahead. Where does the money go to hide? Well, that's a good point. Let's hope it goes over here to hide. I'm all for that.
Yeah, good bringing that up, Niblets, because that is the other, that's the 800-pound gorilla. It's the debt ceiling negotiations with Yellen's letter coming out today saying that default could happen on as early as June 1st, but I think before they were talking end of July.
Yeah.
So that's what's lit this fire under everybody's ass, and that's why you see all this like doom and gloom in the banking sector now, in the sell-offs, because everybody's like, oh, shit.
What's interesting is this what's happening today with the banks, this will actually drive the Republicans back. They're going to have to cave because they can't be the guys who collapse the entire banking industry.
And they will. It's not like the banking industry doesn't already own them, just like they own pretty much everybody on the hill. So it's just a matter of when they sit down and say, hey, fuck, tired of like hitting around at this shit, you know, this is what you got to do.
Yeah. There's there's a segment of the population of Congress that would love for the entire country to collapse so they could throw in with their nationalist Christian stuff. But the rest of them understand that even the craziest ones, most of them understand that you go there with this teetering on the edge, you're going to be in some deep shit. So I think they'll cave. We'll see what happens. Shizzy said commercial real estate is the next domino to fall. So many empty buildings that need to be made into condos ASAP. It's interesting. A $300 million building in San Francisco for construction costs, like to build the fucking thing, now getting bids for sale at $60 million. You know, they've got, what did I hear the other day? 30%. Vacancy rate in commercial real estate in San Francisco. I think San Francisco is worse than the rest of the country, but ultimately, I don't know that commercial real estate comes back. And so, like, can you convert buildings like this to housing? And will there be enough people working in the city to actually rent or buy it? I don't know.
Time to ban remote work and get everybody back into the cities.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think everybody's about tired of sitting around the house for 5 years. It's time to get out and go like see what else is out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's obviously a lot of that and a lot of interest rate stuff, you know, affecting those that commercial real estate. I mean, but look at malls, you know, I mean, they were in sorry shape what, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah.
If not even way back before then, but you know, they're kind of being repurposed now into these sort of indoor kind of community centers, I've noticed, having been in a few the last couple of months. You know, sure, I guess rents have probably gone down quite a bit because you don't have, you know, like the luxury brand stores have kind of, I don't want to say that, that's not the right thing. The higher end sort of brands in the malls, you know, have kind of really consolidated in a few that are relying on online for the rest, you know, which makes sense.
Yep.
But that was the anchor tenant of those malls too.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I've seen now is libraries and malls, you know, what we talked about before, you know, various types of tech skill training centers in malls. I mean, sooner or later, it'll be, you know, fintechs and things like that and payment kiosks and all of that.
Yeah, let me show you one. Give you an example of one down the, literally down the street from my house. There's this mall called Southland Mall that is pretty much a ghost town. I mean, the movies do okay and that kind of thing. But for the most part, you know, the anchors are barely hanging on. Sears and Penny.
Is that further down than the Falls?
Yeah. Okay. I'm another 50 blocks down, and this one is another 15 blocks past that. But it's a you know, big ass piece of property. Hold on, let me show you on US-1. And they just approved this thing getting converted into a massive government, education, housing, real, and I think some level of amusement area as well. So this, let me see if I can find this current mall. I don't know why we're doing this, but I got sidetracked.
You know what this is like? This will be like this south of the border for South Florida.
Yeah, this is the mall, and this is, this is the plans for revamping it. So it's going from this ugly ass mall into, you know, beautiful condos. And there's a segment of it that's affordable housing, you know, street malls, hotels, the whole bit. So it's cool.
Well, we need more projects like that. But I think that maybe there's just a broader transformation happening in commercial real estate. I mean, I think the tax code isn't really right for, that's the right word for logical development. I think it's built to just sprawl and build up temporary structures that last 10, 15 years. And then, you know, people move on and there's an empty strip mall.
Yeah.
I think that should be fixed. And I think there should be more brownfield development, more infill stuff in cities.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what saves the sector. And maybe these high interest rates, you know, force companies into insolvency that otherwise would just be a drag on the economy for, you know, 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful for that. We'll see what happens. But, you know, it's, we're in a tricky spot in the economy. We don't need big, you know, defaulting on debt, per se, as the U.S. government, since, you know, we are the benchmark risk-free rate.
Yep.
If all of a sudden we're not paying our bills, then, I mean, it's going to be rough on us, but everybody else's interest rates are going to skyrocket because they're all pegged to that.
Yep. Now I'm going to shill MTF a little bit. If you
go were for running it
at 9 or 12 deviation on PacWest trading stocks, you had a nice 18 minute gain of about 16-17%. So,
well, so again, I always come back to this when you state that. How would someone tell our users or listeners and me, because I was in a refresher course, how would you use that trigger or that alert to execute auto? Can you do it to execute automatically on equities, or do you just have to watch it and pull the trigger yourself, et cetera?
Well, you can get an alert, how you do that. Pull the trigger manually, but there's a there's something coming for that potentially, and I'm sure there are similar things to like three commas. Right.
In okay. the
equities world, I just haven't played with those yet because I'm all crypto. But there is also a platform called Alpaca, which is a developer first stock and equities trading platform. It's all API based. They have an interface, but the primary purpose of it is build apps onto this interface, right? And so you could theoretically automate the webhook signals coming from TradingView to take those trades, right? So if you're looking at the regional banking sector and yesterday you saw this insanity happening or last week, and you're willing to knife catch on these, you know, you could put some really extreme deviation levels down on this, and you're only going to book trades if there's something that really looks like it's going to be an extreme enough to have that V bounce and catch the upside, right? You could cut this off at 4%, 3%, 2%, whatever you want. So anyway, the idea would be is you send a webhook from, you'd set an alert in TradingView. That alert sets a webhook. The webhook sends the signal to your trading platform, executes the trade, and then your trading platform says, okay, I'll take profit at X percent, whatever. So
you can automate on equity side or probably can the same right. thing you were doing on the crypto side back in the day.
The one resistance here is, I can't remember if it's 25, I think it's 25,000. You have to have a minimum of 25,000 on deposit to do more than X number of trades in a 5-day period. So to day trade stocks, you have to have a set amount or accredited, I guess, status. I'm not sure the whole rules, but I mean, if you wanted to start day trading with MTF, you would need to make sure you have enough money in the account so you don't get stopped for day trading.
Because I could see where when, you know, there's all kinds of, well, not all kinds, but there are groups that, you know, look for those kinds of, you know, that basically follow, say, U.S. legislation and U.S., I guess, litigation opinion and whatever and financial stuff to, you know, look, you know, but like, for example, say the, you know, commercial real estate sector. Okay, we were just talking about that. And you could like find the basket of those or the index of all those providers, load them into your platform. If you think it's looming that something could happen, just like we say, oh, we know Bitcoin's going to drop someday, but it's going to be a big V. We just don't know when. Well, it's kind of the same with in that scenario. You wouldn't know exactly when, but if you loaded the indicator up on, say, the 10 biggest ones in the space that you thought might get in trouble because some legislation might get passed or some interest rate hike might be at some unexpected level, then it could be already watching them.
Yeah.
When that event happens and it'll pull the trigger automatically and get you out on that bounce.
Exactly.
Not having to do anything, right?
Correct.
Okay.
You just set the parameters when you want to take profit, you take it, you go, and you're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Niblet said with Congress housing a few insurrectionists, forcing a default would just be their next chapter. Yeah, I just don't think there's enough of them. Well, I think there's enough of them, but I think enough of them will be scared shitless that they'll about actually maintaining their office that they won't. Chuck said it's a weird battle between insecure middle managers who need to see their minions and CFOs who realize how much they can save on leases if everyone stays home. That's the whole work at home.
Yeah.
Niblet says turn them all into giant escape rooms. Dude, I love that. You know what I would have done? I would have taken a chunk of that mall and made it like a adventure escape room / TikTok studio. Like with, so it's like kind of a mix of amusement park and fun, but also people come there specifically to do all their TikTok and Instagram videos. That would be booked.
Speaking of TikTok, just want to make sure you knew that we are in the Meta Intro TikTok feed, I guess. I think somewhat predominantly from what I heard.
Nice.
But I'm just not in there. So if you ever are, your daughter is, have them look it up for us.
Aren't you going to start a TikTok for us, Joe?
Oh, that's I live a dream to do that. Hold on. That's just what I need to do is monitor another channel. let's see if you can find those clips. I'm really curious what they look like.
Chuck says the idea of work at home couldn't really happen 20 years ago because you couldn't be guaranteed that your workforce had full internet connectivity and reasonable gear at home. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yep.
Dude. Businesses don't need to subsidize the work at home infrastructure. So there's no reason for a lot of businesses to ever be in a centralized office. And when you look, cutting out those leases and all the other costs that go along with that, security, everything, supplies, it's just a dramatic savings. So I think you're right. Like, I mean, I think the gist of this whole conversation is, I mean, what do big cities start looking like, right? Do they get transferred into housing? Do we have more green spaces? What does the world look like? Where do people go to meet? Is it just the coffee shops? Do cities start building areas where people go just to hang out because they don't want to be in the house anymore today, but they don't have an office? And I think the downside is currently the pain that people are feeling in that commercial real estate market. The upside is a better way of life eventually. So hopefully
we'll see. Yeah, I'd love to see some, you know, greenfield development in cities. I'd love to see, you know, greenfield stuff out in the, you know, the, say the Midwest, where, you know, when this country was built, developed, whatever you want to call it, you know, you think about how it worked from the East Coast to the West, and it was really about setting up supply networks, supply chains,
right?
You know, whether you were, you know, railroads, or it was barges before that, and the Erie Canal, and it was about bringing food and stuff to the big city, to New York and Boston and Philly. And it just kept moving further and further west. Well, all these towns like Atlanta, that city, that only evolved because there was a railroad crossing there.
Right.
But now it's a giant megalopolis. And so I'm not picking on Atlanta, but you think about the smaller towns in particular did the same thing on railroad stops, but now there's no purpose for them being there. Or towns that were built around a mill or a chemical factory or something, or an auto plant that was just built there. It's not there anymore. There's no reason for anybody to be there anymore.
Yeah.
So I think those are the kind of challenges that those kind of places, again, it's kind of hard to do because it kind of gets a little centralized. But, you know, if you could get like big open swaths of land going again in, say, the Midwest and the West, or, you know, you could get greenfield in cities. I mean, there's all kinds of things you could do.
Yeah.
The question is can we do it? And can we reorient society where people have reasons to be where they are?
Yep.
You know, and I don't know what that answer is, but just when you look at, say, the home employee versus going to the office, it's sort of similar in that if that's deconstructed, then the board that we play that game on is also deconstructed,
right?
You know, and that's the rural urban board, so to speak. So how does that all change in a way that fits with, you know, whatever the next century is going to look like? To me, that's an interesting thing to think about.
Totally agree. All right. Nibbler says Joe TikTok could be daily clips of Joe yelling at kids to get off the lawn. Yeah. Yelling at the peacock. Shizzy says me and Joe are starting a TikTok dance channel. Start learning the dances now, Joe.
All right, and brother.
Nibbler says Chuck, everyone's cost is someone else's profits. Yeah, totally agree. On the TikTok thing, I have a better idea, Shizzy. Let's just set up a deep fake engine to generate TikTok videos for Joe every day. And then he doesn't have to do anything. I'll just
there you go.
A deep fake of Joe all the time.
If we could, but could we somehow set up a vending machine to it so people have to pay to USDT see it? Into it, or USDC or something, or Bitcoin?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And that could be a way that people could sponsor us.
Yeah. not that I don't talk, you know, I don't ever bring up DeFi Llama, but
DeFi who?
Yeah. They revamped their protocols page and it is friggin' awesome. Like all this new data, all these news feeds, treasury alignments and where they are, new charting options, a lot more data points in it. So I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on it, but they just, I don't know, man. If you're building a company and you want to look at one company in DeFi that you think you should emulate from a production and quality perspective, I don't think you need to go any further than DeFi Llama. So anyway, good shit over there. Let's see what else.
Boy, I think you got a kind of a, just from, I was thinking about your obsession with DeFi Llama over the last year and a half. And it's been interesting because they are one of the few that have actually really executed the whole time since the show started.
Yeah,
you know?
They are going to own a chunk of DeFi when this is all over. I'm just telling you, their aggregator, their swaps aggregator is already, you know, driving nice revenue to them. And they just, it's just an ethos, right? It's just a way of operating that they give out value so that people are so happy with the value they've already gotten from them. They're more than willing to pay for shit. Like the number of times over, I always go there first to trade now because the
really?
Number of times wow. over that has benefited me, is well worth it to me. So, this is a good piece. I'm just going to put a link in it. We don't have to get into it a whole lot. We've talked about it before, but the SEC crackdown on crypto staking in the US could boost decentralization. I hope I saved this, but I don't think I did.
What does the article say? Why is that?
Well, so basically, I think what it's saying is it's moving people into things like Rocket Pool and other decentralized staking operations, right? So instead of staking
at
Coinbase or Lido, or even Lido, who's moving to decentralized, people are going to go decentralized staking because they don't have to worry about it, right?
Right, and they move to different, it just adds more nodes and things like that too. So it decentralizes it overall.
Decentralizes everything better. It's just all the way around. I mean, it's the way it should be, right? I mean, so regulators are going to drive people to be more decentralized. Which,
you know, what's interesting, a good analog to that is if you think about it, when you're looking at equities and sort of the, you know, stock composition of the balance between institutional investors and retail investors. You know, if you look at like the original stake nodes, you know, the Coinbase stuff, things like that as being like kind of the institutional side, then all the other ones, kind of the decentralized piece, it's, you know, groups with different agendas. So it creates a nice risk balance there. It's more diverse. It's more risk averse. It's more diversified. That's cool.
Totally agree. Niblet says we need a course in DeFi Llama. Brad needs to make a Udemy course. I'll put that on the list, buddy. It'll be $5,000 per attendee.
There you go.
Speaking of regulators forcing, Coinbase has launched their international perps exchange, starting with 5x leverage. U.S. customers need not apply. So, you know, here we go. Right. And how long until they just move the entire entity out? Right. You're going to take that big tax hit getting out, but why would you stay? Why wouldn't you take all your talent and move it? So,
well, you know, you could, there is an argument to be made for, I get your point there, Brad, but sometimes, you know, if you look at the way US multinational corporations are structured, you have businesses running offshore, generating profits in other markets, that, you know, not being an expert on tax law myself, in the past, there were advantages to doing that.
Right.
And I think the main ones, we didn't pay taxes on it in the U.S. until you repatriated it back to the U.S. So as long as you didn't bring it back, you could just keep reinvesting it. And, you know, it's kind of like APR to APY, basically,
right.
You know, without taking the tax hit. That could be advantageous. And at the same time, they hit the whole market outside of the U.S. with, I guess, I would presume at least a perception of a higher quality product than a lot of the other providers, as in, you know, more institutional grade, which might get more institutional investors in it. So it could be a really smart play.
Significantly higher volume than what they have in the U.S. eventually. Not now, but you know what I mean? I mean, that's what you get, right? And they have kind of this trusted mantle of they're regulated and they're cautious and they're conservative and all that good shit. So
It could be interesting.
Remember that whole glitch with the Trust Wallet that came out? I guess it was last week or week before last. Well, it turns out that the problem with that, with their browser extension, was even worse than thought. And it was the case that the weakness, the exploit, could have led every wallet, every user of their browser extension, and every developer that had used their browser extension in their wallet, could have led to all of them being easily drained. Would not require any action by the user at all. Could have all been drained because their seed phrase model, whatever, for generating it was actually much lower level of cryptography than necessary. So it made it very easy for someone to come in and acquire the private keys for all of the wallets that were using that extension. So no matter how safe you are, you may not be. So
damn, man. And that's, and you know, we know what Aowen Chen, right?
Yeah.
What's her name? CEO?
Yep.
I mean, what did she say? 70 million users, I think.
Yeah. Now that's mainly their mobile app, but a lot of those users wanted to be in DeFi. So they moved into the extension as well. And a lot of projects were using, they released their code and as open source, and they had APIs and everything else. So a lot of projects were actually using the wallet. They just got lucky because
thank goodness.
Nobody caught, I mean, there was a minimal amount of money stolen, but nobody actually caught it. Nobody that wanted to exploit it found out about it soon enough. They caught it. So
good. Well done.
Hey, that whole Eigenlayer thing is pretty cool. Its mainnet launch has occurred, I guess. I haven't been paying close enough attention to them, but this brings up a lot of interesting use cases. Shizzy, I think you've looked at this quite a bit, if I'm not mistaken. Essentially, it's being able to utilize your staked Ethereum to also secure other services, right? So you can piggyback, technologically, you can piggyback the security you gain by staking Ethereum. You can also piggyback that to help stake and secure other protocols within the Ethereum network. So anyway, they've completed their testnet, I guess. Wait a minute. A phased mainnet launch begins, well, in the coming months. So they haven't actually launched. That headline was deceptive. But they are getting ready to launch now that their testnet has been successful. So interesting one to keep an eye on. You know, maybe there's some opportunities for potential airdrops later. I have no idea, but, you know, interesting to see. Interesting to see.
Yeah. Who was talking about them? I think it was Shizzy.
I thought it was too, but I can't remember. I don't know. Let's see what this says. Oh, wait. Niblet says, would a hardware wallet protect? Yes. Hardware, having your ledger connected to that extension would have protected against this particular one from what I read of the security experts that were analyzing it. So, yeah, that would have been the helpful thing. You know, it's interesting. Remember Wormhole? Remember their big exploit? They got killed for whatever it was, a few hundred million dollars, I think. Maybe it was a billion. I don't remember. Anyway, Bridge, Solana project, Jump Street's investor bailed them out, whatever. They have now launched a great idea, but it's funny because that brand is tainted for me forever. Like if I was building a project, and I wanted integrated bridging in my project, which I've talked to other projects about doing that have cross-chain capabilities and they haven't done it. This is a great idea. I just wouldn't, I just have a negative brand association because the exploit on them was so simple. But a cool concept, it's called Wormhole Connect. It allows you to put a widget into your dApp and with three lines of code, build bridging into your application. So users don't have to leave your website to move the coin over that you want them to have to utilize your protocol. Really great concept. I probably should be a little fairer with them because they probably learned their lessons. It's kind of like going to the Chinese restaurant to eat that got shut down a month ago for being dirty. You know, at least the first week after they open, they're going to be cleaned up. So, you know, maybe Wormhole's really cleaned up their act. Who knows?
So it's kind of like a, yeah, I'll leave it at that. Sorry.
Chuck said, not if the KeyGen software and the hardware wallet has the same entropy problem. I don't think it does. I think it was just the extension, but the article I read did say that that would have been safer. Speaking of cross-chain, I had not taken a really deep dive into 0x, which is being used at massive scale on a lot of protocols. Basically, it's a cross-chain swaps and bridging and built in, right? So it's an API that allows you to build this shit into your platform. A lot of exchanges are using it. I believe DeFi Llama uses it as the way, basically you can connect and aggregate hundreds of exchanges utilizing 0x. Really powerful platform. It's become very popular with developers, but I started diving into kind of what's possible with this thing. They also have not only the swap API, but they also have a transaction relay API that allows people come in if they're on a different chain and they don't have the gas for it. It allows them to, in the back end, swap out the tokens for whatever they have in their wallet, bridge everything over and have the gas covered and not worry about it, or have the project cover the gas for them. So again, it's about making it fast and easy for users to experience cross-chain or multi-chain, but also making it easier for protocols to onboard people. So they've got some new stuff coming, enabling limit orders in app and take directly from their order book liquidity, transaction and trading history, so users can see what they've done in the past, and a token registry are coming. Those three projects are not out yet, but I'm really impressed with this project and how rapidly they've integrated. I mean, look at all these projects that are using it: Coinbase, Brave, Matcha, Jump, DeFi Saver, Robinhood, Polygon, Phantom, MetaMask, Zapper, DYDX, and Rainbow. So I'm going to see if I can get one of these guys on for an interview. I'd like to dive deeper into kind of what they're doing and where they're going, but it's an awesome project and it's helping a lot in the space, help that cross-chain vision come to fruition. So
it looks cool, man.
3AC founders are getting their hands slapped by Dubai over their new exchange. Had sent them two cease and desist orders, which 3AC's this OPNX, they're the ones trading the bankruptcy debt, whatever. They were notified in February and sent out an investor alert in April that they should stop operations, and I guess they're ignoring them. So again, the 3AC guys are showing their true colors, I guess.
Yeah.
That's a hot mess over there.
Yeah, that is a total mess. It's just nothing but bad stories coming out of that one for the next couple of years for those principals. Sorry.
Yeah. Back to banks real quickly. I'm going to put a link to this in here, but basically Arthur Hayes is saying the U.S. is nationalizing the banking industry in the U.S. Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, it's okay. A great thread. He's basically talking about the fact that, you know, all these bank takeovers, guaranteeing them and not letting any of them fail, no matter their size, basically means, you know, the federal government is the bank, right? They loaned the money to Chase to buy that bank because nobody wanted to buy it. So it's an interesting theory. I saw some really good discussions in the thread from other people talking about, you know, kind of the level of that. But essentially concentrating all the power into eight banks, the too big to fail banks and everything else, they just don't give a shit. I have no idea how much truth there is to that, but it's still an interesting theory to think about. So,
yeah, no, I mean, the dollar is the dominant currency in the world and the banks are the ones that everybody puts the dollars in. It does kind of look like the U.S. is just one big bank, doesn't it?
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, I don't think that's, I mean, Arthur's a smart guy, but I don't think it's that groundbreaking, I guess is what I'm saying. I think it's pretty obvious.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, but you know, but I guess it's I'm coming at it from a different perspective too. Yeah. You know, I'm just kind of stating it as a reality. And I know he's probably thinking of it more from a, why aren't more people owning Bitcoin to protect against that? And I'd say he's probably right on that part.
Yeah, makes sense. Reading last week how Buffett has been leaving banking and he knows banking. It's interesting. I didn't know that, but that's also another good sign. You know,
so yeah.
Jim Cramer doesn't say he's leaving banking because then the banking will boom.
If it gets to where groups like, you know, the Estonia digital resident piece and, you know, the new one, the Pacific Islands, if that self-sovereignty actually gains traction, I mean, I don't even know if it has to. I think you just do it.
Yeah.
Then you do break down these sort of centralized systems and these geographical borders or fences or walls, so to speak. You know, I don't know if that ever gets to everybody on the world, but it doesn't mean that, you know, any of us shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
You know, it's my read. I mean, you should protect yourself.
That's right.
So, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, I like the banks for what the banks do.
Yeah.
You know, and it is easy, you know, if you just sit there and play the game, you know, and have your money in the banks and have businesses that have banking relationships, you know, it is the cheapest credit out there. It is the cheapest capital out there.
Yeah.
But it's not risk capital, you know, and I think people have to understand that that's where your money goes, where, you know, it's going to, I mean, as long as there's a you know, government standing, basically, you know, those dollars are good. And that's why the rest of the world puts them there, too. Absolutely. But, you know, you don't get rich off bank deposits. Banks are for already made cash. You know, you have to go make it somewhere else and protect yourself in other ways, too. So do it all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's all I got for today, Joe. You got anything else you want to talk about?
Nothing really. Not right now. I think you did a good job of bringing up all the important stuff.
Thank you, sir.
I think there's stuff out there. Like I said, Camelot Dex has some interesting yield stuff there. I am being a little, you know, watching Arbitrum or watching TVL levels over there. I mean, you do see it declining some, but at the same time, I don't know if that's just because of the overall retrenchment, you know, in price,
right.
Or if it's stuff leaving the chain. I kind of think it's more of the former, you know, just, you know, prices going down.
Right.
It's doing that. But just keep an eye on those things and, you know, do take profits. Absolutely. I mean, not financial advice, but be safe. I don't think this is the time to be, you know, shooting for, you know, the $1 million BTC price. Unless you want to, you know, you can ride through the roller coaster first. But yeah, I don't feel bad. I feel actually pretty good about everything. I don't feel particularly bad about stuff out there. I mean, do you share that before everybody goes? Do you share the same thing?
Okay. I mean, I feel like a little of apprehension, a little nerves, a little, what the fuck's going on? But I'm like, you know, whatever, I'm stacking. So.
Yeah. I mean, cause if it all goes bad, then you're going to want to be stacking.
Exactly.
And when we talk going from risk on to risk off, as far as Bitcoin or crypto, you know, maybe it has to go bad to get to that.
Very strong possibility, dude.
But until that happens, as long as everything's going good, it does good. So yeah. I think we're all sitting in a pretty good place as long as we don't, you know, panic when any big moves happen. And, you know, make sure to be prudent. And like I always say, take the profits.
Yep.
But other than that, you know, I think we're in good shape.
Quick note on one other story I was going to bring up, but I thought, I've done too much of that, but I'm going to do it anyway. On my AI fetish, IBM announced yesterday that they are stopping hiring on 7,800 jobs that they believe can be replaced with the current state of AI. That's kind of like the first shot fired. Now, IBM obviously has expertise and skills to optimize for and utilize, and they have their own AI technologies. It's 7,800, I guess it was 7,800 jobs they've already budgeted for that they were hiring for that they feel like and have identified as ones that can be replaced with AI. So
what kind of jobs are those? Do you know off the top of your head?
I gotta believe it's things like related to marketing and content and research and
digital jobs.
Yeah,
okay.
Simple programming stuff. You know, probably administrative appointment level stuff. I don't know. Anyway,
it's interesting because it is, you know, kind of.
Yeah, writing a bullshit IBM consulting report is exactly. Yeah, maybe all their consulting. They're just going to replace their entire consulting division.
Yeah. Hey, man, we can bang out these $150,000 reports in 30 minutes.
Awesome. That's
if we just have interns like cut and paste everything together and one senior level dude come in and give it to them and collect the check.
Well, this is a good point Niblets makes, but the IBM had to hire 8,000 AI jobs. I mean, I don't think they did, but here's the point, right? What's in their best interest? Their best interest is to drive people to adopt AI to replace people and save money. And if you have AI technologies and consultants, what do? You go out to the world and you say, well, we're not going to hire 7,800 people we were going to hire because AI can replace them now. And then what does that do? It makes all of us discuss it and other companies start discussing it. And then they start reaching out to IBM. How are you going to implement that? It's a good marketing pitch.
Well, the first thing we're going to do is kill all these damn office leases we got in the cities.
Yeah.
Because we don't need people anymore.
Yep. Shizzy is like 4-year cycle is undefeated. 2015, 2019, 2015, 2019, and 2023 did not and will not have new lows.
Wait, so what is
Shizzy, please don't become the Jim Cramer of crypto. I'm hoping and praying you're right, buddy. I was thinking about pal.
Yeah, I think we're all hoping that it's the real deal. I know Sean has his, you know, I think he said he's never really believed it, but look, if the market believes it is a thing and sets expectations as to it as being a thing, it shouldn't change retail behavior, or it shouldn't change a lot of investor behavior, in my mind. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
Even though the whole rationale of it might have gone past, but again, I don't even know if that's, you know, if the rewards are cut in half, but all of a sudden, let's say, you know, everybody believes that it's eventually going to be, you know, worth $1 million a piece, then does that change user behavior?
Yeah, I
don't know. So, you know, I'm with you, Shizzy. I'm hoping for it too. I'm hoping that the herd mentality is dumber than the analytic mentality out there, because we all need a little shot in the arm, right?
Yeah. Riblet says, I like the cut of your jib, Shizzy.
I love it.
All right, guys. All right, thank you, Niblets, Shizzy, Chuck. Anybody else jump in today? That was it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Love you being here. Love hanging with you guys. And please, if you have not yet, be sure you join the community. You can chat with these guys, these celebrities, these superstars of trading and finance and crypto directly at t.me/missiondefi, t.me/missiondefi. I even think Shizzy will give you an autographed NFT if you hit him up in the chat. I'm just making that shit up. I don't know that.
No, I'm sure he would. He's that kind of guy.
Yeah, he's that kind of human. He's a good human.
Yeah. So you guys pile up over there. Gang pile them, man. Everybody get in there and ask for their NFTs.
Yeah. And that's, yes, I'm not going to make that crude joke. All right. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate you guys being here. If you want listen on Apple Podcasts or watch or listen on Spotify, please just take the 2 minutes it takes to rate and review us. It really gives us a boost, helps us keep going, and it feeds our massive egos. So if you could do that, that would be a big help. If you're watching on YouTube, please make sure you check the subscribe button. You click the little bell so you get alerted, and you smash the thumbs up so you boost us in the algorithm there as well. Again, it's a real boost for our egos, and we love seeing your comments and thoughts. Join us at t.me/missiondefi to join the community and get a part of it. She said, I got you. I'll start making them. Nice. Royalties at 10%. There you go, buddy. We'll create our own NFT marketplace. Everybody in our community has their own NFTs they can give away to each other for points.
Or Shizzy, do them on each of the failed banks. That's what you can do, like an NFT for each of the banks. Yeah, and the ones that are teetering.
NFT. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, we track the stock price with the value of the NFT. It's controlled by an oracle. There you go. People can make bets on them.
And then we make a bank.
There we go. So we're creating an NFT oracleized stock
bank.
Trading DEX bank. There you go. I love it.
I like it. Awesome. Later, we'll put it in the Seychelles. Cheers. All right. Joe. See you on the beach. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody. See y'all. Have a great day.
See you on Shaw.